Welcome and Sabbath blessing to all the precious family in the room. Welcome to all the dear brethren in the room, for those that are listening over the phone and also over the radio and later on the recording. Sabbath blessing, everyone. And this beautiful sunny Sabbath, but it's really cold over here on December 8, 2018. This is lesson 268. Part 2 review of chapter 58 entitled Lazarus Comfort, part 3. Our opening hymn to a series of our study is entitled Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And if any one of the dear family would like to join in singing, you could bubble up. Oh soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's a light for a look at the Savior, a life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
Through death into life everlasting, He passed and we follow Him there. O'er us sin no more has dominion, for more than a conqueror we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus.
Look full in
His wonderful face, and the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace.
His word shall not fail you, He promised. Believe Him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, His perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus, indeed, my sister. Dear ones, if any one of the little ones, mommies or daddies, or even our guests would like to open with prayers, bubble up.
If we could all kneel and bow our heads and our hearts and come humbly before our Godhead. I pray, Lord Jesus, as we come before You on bended knees, that You will forgive us for our sins and our iniquities and our shortcomings, dear Father. Help us to enter into Your Sabbath rest, dear Father God, with a peace of mind, a peace of spirit, dear Father, that the devil may not be able to rob anything that will be learned today. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Your precious name. Lord Jesus, thank You for getting us through this week. Thank You for being with us, because we know that we could not be here without Your mercy upon our lives. We thank You for all that we have endured, whether big or small. I pray, Lord, that You will be with each and every one of us that are here listening today. I pray that You'll be with the visitors, dear Father, also that are listening, those that are listening over the phone at this time, those that will be listening at a later time. I pray, dear Father, for the virgins that are not here for whatever reason, that you will please give them traveling mercies as they go to do your work, that you will please be the holy light that will be able to reach the people that they're going to give your word to, prepare the hearts on both sides for those speaking and those receiving, dear Father, I pray. Lord Jesus, I also pray for those that are sick and shut in, that are not able to lift up a prayer this morning. You know each and every one of their hearts, and even within their thoughts and their mind, dear Father God, if they could just cry out to you, you are more than able to hear. But heal them in body, mind, and spirit. Heal us all, dear Father God, in body, mind, and spirit. Truly, Lord, it is your Sabbath day of rest, and I pray that everything, whether big or small, that we are burdened with, that we lay them at your feet, that you are so merciful enough to give us a peace from that heavy burden, dear Father God, no matter what it is. And I pray, dear Father God, that if we are being in any way a hindrance to anyone, or we're causing strife to anyone, that, dear Father God, we may be able to give it to you, and that we may be able to ask for forgiveness, not just for ourselves, but for those that we have wronged to. And please be with it among us, dear Father God, and within us too, dear Father. Forgive us for our sins and our iniquities and our shortcomings. We love you, dear Father, and we thank you so much again for all that you have done in our lives. In no other name than Jesus I pray. Amen.
Amen. Our opening verse for our series of review lesson is taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 1, verse 18, from the King James Version. And it's a memory scripture song. And if you know the scripture song, you could bubble up.
Come now, let us reason together. That's what God said. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as the snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Come now, let us reason together. That's what God says. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Amen.
Amen. So what have we learned and ways we have grown this week, dear ones? Before we hear your question, your thoughts, your testimony, let's take this few minutes to review last week's study, dear ones, from our part 3, from Lazarus' Comfort in a Desire of Ages study book. Any one of the dear brethren would like to read the first paragraph, bubble up.
Desire of Ages, page 527. If any man walk in the day, he continued, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. He who does the will of God, who walks in the path that God has marked out, cannot stumble and fall. The light of God's guiding spirit gives him a clear perception of his duty, and leads him aright till the close of his work. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. He who walks in a path of his own choosing, where God has not called him, will stumble. For him, day is turned into night, and wherever he may be, he is not secure. Desire of Ages, page 527, paragraph 1. Amen. And on the slide, it gives a verse from John 11, verse 9, King James Version. If any man walk in the day, he continued, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. At the bottom of the slide, it says, but if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him.
Desire of Ages, page 527.
These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Our friend Lazarus sleepeth. How touching the words, how full of sympathy. In the thought of the peril their master was about to incur by going to Jerusalem, the disciples had almost forgotten the bereaved family at Bethany, but not so Christ. The disciples felt rebuked. They had been disappointed because Christ did not respond more promptly to the message.
So have a blessing, everyone. May the Lord bless you and keep you all. Desiree, this 5:27 continuing, they had been tempted to think that he had not the tender love for Lazarus and his sister, that they had thought that he had, or he would have hasted back with the message, with the messenger. But the words of friend Lazarus sleeping, awake the right feeling in their mind, and they were convinced that Christ had not forgotten his suffering friend. This is outrageous, 5:27, paragraph 2.
Then said, Desireages, page 527. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Christ represents death as a sleep to his believing children. Their life is hid with Christ in God. And until the last trump shall sound, those who die will sleep in him. Desire of Ages, page 527. It says, it is in the bottom, I am securing in Christ. Set your affection on things above, not things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ and God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Holy Lamb hidden with Christ and God. In Colossians 3:2-4, King James Version.
Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there. To the intent ye may believe, nevertheless let us go on to him. Thomas could see nothing but death in store for his master, if he went to Judea, but he girded up his spirit and said to the other disciples, Let us all also go, that we may die with him. And continuing on the next slide. He knew the hatred of the Jews toward Christ. It was their purpose to compass his death, but this purpose had not succeeded because some of his allotted time still remained. During this time, Jesus had the guardianship of heavenly angels, and even in the regions of Judea, where the rabbis were plotting how they might take him and put him to death, no harm could come to him. Desire of Ages, page 527, paragraph 4.
Desire of Ages, page 528. The disciples marveled at Christ's words when he said, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad that I was not there. Did the Savior, by his own choice, avoid the home of his suffering friends? Apparently, Mary and Martha and the dying Lazarus were left alone, but they were not alone. But Christ beheld the whole scene, and after the death of Lazarus, the bereaved sisters were upheld by his grace. Jesus witnessed the sorrow of their rent hearts as their brother wrestled strong with his strong foe, death. Next slide, please.
Desire of Ages, 5:26, continuing the reading. He fell every bang of anguish, pang of anguish, as he said to his disciple, Lazarus is dead. For Christ had not only the love once at Bethany to think of, he had the training of his disciple to consider. They were to be his representative to the world, that the Father blessing might embrace all. For their sake, he permitted Lazarus to die. Had he restored him from illness to health, the miracle that is the most positive evidence of his divine character would not have been performed. Desire Ages, 528, paragraph 1. And next to the slide says,
they were to be his representatives to the world, that the Father's blessing might embrace all.
Amen.
Desire of Ages, page 528. Had Christ been in the sick room, Lazarus would not have died, for Satan would have had no power over him. Death could not have aimed his dart at Lazarus in the presence of Life-Giver. Therefore, Christ remained away. He suffered the enemy to exercise his power, that he might drive him back, a conquered foe. He permitted Lazarus to pass under the dominion of death, and his suffering sisters saw their brother laid in the grave. Next slide, please.
Desire of Ages 528. Christ knew that as they look on the dead face of their brother, their faith in the Redeemer would be severely tried. But he knew that because of the struggle through which they were now passing, their faith would shine forth with far greater power. Amen. He suffered every pang of sorrow that they endured. He looked them no less because he tarried, but he knew that for them, for Lazarus, and for himself, and for his disciple, the victory will be gained. Amen. Desire Ages 528, paragraph 2.
Desire of Ages, page 528. For your sakes, to the intent you may believe, to all who are reaching out to feel the guiding hand of God, the moment of greatest discouragement is the time when divine help is nearest. They will look back with thankfulness upon the darkest part of their way. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. From every temptation and every trial, he will bring them forth with firmer faith and a richer experience. Desire of Ages, 528, paragraph 3. On the side, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. 1 Peter 2, 9. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Dear ones, this particular study for this series that we have really come in a time where there were so many loss, not only among family, but also among friends. And it became a true comfort to all of us to know that in our greatest time of bereavement, Jesus is there. So just wanted to share that testimony as well. So let's consider this verse for our review section, dear ones, taken from 1 Peter 3:15 from the King James Version, and I will sing it as a memory verse. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that hath pure reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So what have we learned and ways I have grown? Dear ones, now the room is open for any questions, thoughts to be shared.
Would there have been a consequence if Jesus cured Lazarus before he died?
Well, thank you, dear brother, for your question, and I think it would have been a twofold consequence. The first consequence would have been the greatest evidence that Christ was the Messiah would not have been given, because by Christ resurrecting Lazarus after he'd been dead 4 days, that was undeniable proof before many witnesses that Christ was indeed the Messiah, the resurrection and the life. But the second consequence would have been that the Father was not leading Christ to immediately go and heal Lazarus, but was impressing Christ to hold back until after Lazarus had died and then go and heal him. So it would have been a double consequence that way. And Christ never went against the will of God. He was always in full compliance to however God, through the Spirit, was leading him.
Amen, and I agree also. And there is also another great consequence. There was a doctrine controversy. Some of them didn't believe in the resurrection, and that was also one of the great evidence that could have put that controversy at rest. And what I have learned also is that in the midst of the bereavement that they had, there was so much clarity on so many things that they obtained. There was even when Christ was with them, if they would have been watching the footstep of the Lord, they would have also have an idea of how to handle those period of time. It says that Jesus was not among all of the wailing and all of the manifestation that they had at the time of their custom. They used to hire mourners. So in order for him to be able to keep in the harmony of how things were supposed to happen, by looking towards Jesus or even having an idea of how he was handling this period of time in their life, it would have been something to take them out of all of those custom and tradition that they learned from the leaders. Me and one of the dear family are getting their thoughts together. If there's any song, hymns, that anyone would like to share with the family and those that are on the phone, blah, blah, blah. Dear ones, if you have a thought or questions relating, if it's not part of the lesson, if there's any other question that you would like to ask or any thoughts concerning the subject of loss, you can share, blah, blah, blah. Is there any testimony that anyone would like to share their story? This is the time that you can be able to do so. We will continue having the opportunity, dear ones, even if we have the youth study. If you have any question, you could bubble up. This is the time where we ask all the little ones, precious little souls, that is story time, and our dear brother Dick will also have the opportunity to ask any question on the section.
I'm on the short end of the stick this morning. Let's see. Okay. Must be my story time. I ran in the other room to look for a Spirit of Prophecy book, and it's story time or review time. We're going to review something about honesty this morning, and if any of you have any questions, put them in the room, and I'll see when I get back if I can find them. How about that? Honesty. Providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. 2 Corinthians 8:21. In a version called God's Word, it says, we intend to do what is right, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of people. In all business transactions, we are to let the light shine decidedly. When we do business with others, we are to represent Jesus. There is to be no sharp practice. We are not to argue to get the best price always. Everything is to be done with the strictest integrity or honesty. Better consent to lose something financially than gain a few shillings or dollars by sharp practice. We shall lose nothing in the end by fair dealing. We are to live the law of God in our world and perfect a character after the divine similitude or likeness. Our characters are to be similar or like God's character. all business with those in the faith and those not in the faith is to be transacted on square righteous principles. In other words, we're to have honest dealings with others. Everything is to be seen in the light of God's law. Everything done without fraud, without duplicity, without one tinge of guile or deceit. A tinge of guile means a little bit of deceit or deception. For a Babylonish robe, that was a nice piece of clothing made in Babylon, a poultry here means sheep, not chickens, and a poultry treasure of gold and silver. Now, we think gold and silver is really something great, but when compared with heaven, it's nothing, because they use it up there for asphalt. Achan consented to sell himself to evil, to bring upon his soul the curse of God, to forfeit his title to a rich possession in Canaan, and to lose all prospect or possibility of the future immortal inheritance in the earth made new. He wasn't thinking when he stole that it might cost him his life and his salvation. A fearful price indeed he paid for his ill-gotten gain or stolen stuff. You see, when the Israelites conquered Jericho, God told them that all the valuable things belonged to him and were to go to the support of the sanctuary. But Achan stole some of the forbidden stuff and took it into his tent and thought nobody would know. Deal honestly and righteously in this present evil world. Some will be honest when they see that honesty will not endanger their worldly interests. But all who act from this principle will have their names blotted out of the book of life. In other words, I'll be honest if it won't hurt me, but if it's going to hurt me, I won't be honest. And sometimes honesty with our fellow men hurts you. Like when I tried to get a job driving a truck when I first got my commercial driver's license, I told the recruiter, I have to have Sabbaths off. We can't use you, he said. Well, I was honest, and it cost me that possibility of a job. But anyway, strict honesty must be cultivated or practiced. We can go through the world but once. We cannot come back to rectify or correct any mistakes. Therefore, every move made should be with godly fear and careful consideration. Better think carefully about what you do and make sure it pleases God. When God makes up his jewels is what God calls his obedient children. Somebody here, I think Joan will probably sing you that song someday. We had a children's song about the jewels. The true, the frank, the honest will be his chosen ones, his treasures. Angels are preparing crowns for such, and light from the throne of God will be reflected in its splendor or beauty from these star-gemmed crowns. In other words, that is a crown full of stars. My sons and daughters of God, page 185. Providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. 2 Corinthians 8:21. We want to be honest with God and honest with our fellow men. Thank you for listening. Now, do you have any questions? Say that. Okay. Where was I? See, I can't keep track of the chat room and what I'm reading at the same time because my eyes don't cross very well. We've got a lot of interpersonal communication. How do you help someone to move forward in being honest without losing hope when they seem to have been denied, punished, or for speaking the truth? Well, it's like I said, I didn't get that job because I was honest up front and told the man I needed to have Sabbaths off. And he said, we don't have room for anybody with that here. We work 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. Can't use you. Well, the Lord rewarded me with a job here in Arkansas because my brother had worked for this company and he kept the Sabbath and he honored God's law. And so when I called the man to see if I could get on with him, he says, "What do you want to work for me for?" I said, "Because my brother works for you and you give him Sabbaths off and I figure you'd give me Sabbaths off too." "Okay," he says, "I'll have your brother pick you."
Amen. What a wonderful testimony, dear Brother Dick. There was also a posting by a dear sister, and she says, "A little thought that I remember from when I was growing up. Speak the truth and speak it ever, cause it what it will." "Speak the truth and speak it ever, cause it what it will, for he who hides the wrong, he did thus the wrong thing still."
So growing up, I remember learning this poem, and it was brought back to memory as we started doing the studies. And it says, "Speak the truth and speak it ever, cost it what it will. For he who hides the wrong he does the wrong thing still." And just was saying that as the lesson last week, it was about honesty and doing things with godly integrity. So I just wanted to share that. Something that I try my best to live by, and the fear of the Lord in my heart doesn't allow me to tell a lie, no matter how simple it is. But again, that had to take me having the fear of the Lord instilled in my heart. And I just hope to teach my children the same thing too, just to always speak the truth no matter what the consequences are. It's better to do so.
Well, dear ones, we have come to the ending of our review. I hope and pray that if you do have any other questions or thoughts or poem or anything that you would like to share, we still have the rest of the service, dear one, that you can be able to share with the room. So next time we will meet, we will continue with part 4 of our lesson entitled Lazarus Comfort in our study book, Desire of Ages. If any one of the dear family, mommies, daddies, or even our guests would like to close with prayer, bubble up. And also, there is a statement by our dear brother. He says, "If not for God, then for the sake of truth." Amen. If we can all bow our knees and our hearts, possible, before we go before the throne of God. Oh, precious and righteous and heavenly Father, thank you so much for allowing the computer to be stable, Father, and not to have so much fallout, Father Jesus. May you be with each and every one of us that are in the room, those on the phone, those that will be listening over the radio, and later on the recording. Father, thank you so much for all these years that you have provided for us to be able to come together in what I vocalize, Father Jesus. We appreciate what you have done for us in this room, Father Jesus, and hoping by God's grace that as you give us another privilege to open another one, dear Lord, and these days that we will not be together, I pray that you will give us a time for reflection, time to study, Father Jesus, and to do a little missionary work, Father, and to reach as much possible all the people that might come in contact with us, Father Jesus. Give us a time also to sit with our children, and even if we have to discuss any of the things that they might have had a little bit of difficulty understanding, thank you for giving us the time, dear Lord. We know that all things work for good for those that love the Lord. We are thankful for being our leader and our master and counselor and teacher and our savior indeed. Forgive us for our sins and our iniquity and our shortcoming, Father. Forgive us if we have neglected anything during these past years, Father. Help us that we may have our eyes open, Father, our heart as well, and our ability to give our talent in whatever manner we can be able to add to make the fellowship of all our family in Christ to be more not only blessed but rewarding, Father, that they can walk away taking the lessons, Father Jesus, and still have the freedom to be able to reach out and speak to any one of our brothers and sisters if they have any difficulties, Father. We thank you and we love you. This is my prayer in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. So next Sabbath will be, by God's grace, in our new year, we will continue with lesson 269, chapter 58, entitled Lazarus Come Forth, part 4. By God's grace, our next lesson will be in the new shop room in the year 2019. Keep it all in prayer, dear ones, and may the Lord wash between me and thee as we absent from one another. Keep the faith, dear ones. Have a blessed and peaceful Sabbath.